open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, Bison fans, and welcome to the National Signing Day edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me today is the man with the plan, Sam Westrick. Sam, how are you doing?
Not too bad, Ross. It's a good day to see all these kids signing. Congratulations to everybody that is signing today. Wish them nothing but the best of luck.
Yeah, it's certainly a big day in these young men's lives. I know that the word excitement or excited will be used by Coach Entz in the press conference. They're excited to bring in all these guys, but it's true. I mean, this is one of the top days for the coaching staff, too. They've put a ton of work into this, and especially in a strange recruiting year like this one, to see everything sort of come to fruition is a big, big deal. We also have a big-time interview coming up. We had a chance to speak with Bison legend, future North Dakota State University Hall of Famer Christian Dudzik. Duds has first pick performance down in Omaha and in Lincoln, Nebraska. He has worked with current Bison Marquis Siegel and Tyson Gordon, and has also the inside scoop on Omaha West Side quarterback Cole Payton, who is, in my opinion, the shining star in this class. I think you always want to say that about your quarterback, but truly, I think this is the highest level kid that they brought in this year.
So just start off right off the bat. What has COVID done as far as making it harder for recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, so like the number one thing is obviously you can't sell your campus. That's the tough thing. You know, how many kids over the course, and it'd be a great question to ask, how many kids over the course of this run have known they were coming to North Dakota State because they were on the field with 19,000 people in the stands and Thunderstruck hits and lights go out? How many people have seen the speed and the ferocity with which North Dakota State plays from field level and decided that they're going to be Bison? How many guys have come and toured the shack and toured the football facility and seen the diagrams for the IPF? How many guys have been sold on that? It's all virtual, man. I think, you know, poor Josh Cattell's probably walking around campus every day with an iPad trying to show kids NDSU. And so the inability, and I think, I mean, they had one major miss this year, and that was Andrew Linegang. And you lose an Andrew Linegang to Kansas State. Obviously, North Dakota State, half of their old coaching staff is there. Coach Kleiman is there. It's an opportunity to play in the Big 12. Tough to beat. And other than that, though, there is not a major target for North Dakota State that I was really sad to see go elsewhere if I'm a Bison fan. And so I think that they did an excellent job, but it was harder. You know, they weren't able to, and the other one, Sam, and it made our lives a little bit more difficult was no camp. You know, camp, you go to camp, see these kids, get a feel for their athleticism, for their length, how they did one-on-ones, and then the coaching staff would make these offers. Shoot, there was years I knew we just needed to be all hands on deck. There'd be 7-8 commitments to North Dakota State on that one day, and you just knew Bison Report had to be ready. This was a much more kind of dominoes class, and one would hit, and the next would hit, and the next would hit, and the next would hit, but you never knew when it was going to happen. Never did 6 dominoes fall at the same time. So that was something really different, too. NDSU's individual camp is a huge deal for this program, and not being able to hold it in the fashion that they normally do, I think was another disadvantage or another thing that they missed. But again, like, they hit their targets, I think, this year for the most part.
And then having said all that, what do you think about just the current class size for the
Yeah, I think they period? I think they had to be conservative. My guess is with this group, they're probably, again, this is a guess because they don't share this information with me, you know, and neither should they, but I would guess that there were 11 or 12 scholarships split over 13 or 14 of these kids. I mean, we know for sure, like, the quarterback's a scholarship kid. We know Bryce Lance is a scholarship kid. We know, like, Logan Kopp is a scholarship kid. But you get into the nitty and the gritty of who's splitting a 64. You know, like, we're just not – that's not our job. It's not what we're going to get into. But what I will say is I think they were conservative because you never know if, like, a Cody Mauch goes through this season or Cordell Volson goes through this season and – normally they would have graduated or whatever, but hey, I'm going to come back because I think if I play in the fall, I'll be drafted in the spring. And there aren't a ton of those kids just because NDSU is still pretty young. But, you know, you might have thought you were going to lose X, Y, and Z player after this fall season. Season gets moved to the spring. A lot of these seniors are going to be in a really weird position for NFL draft stuff anyway because the season's going to run, the national championship's going to be after the draft. So, who knows? You know, it's weird. So, you don't know how much of your roster's sticking around. You don't know how much of your roster's leaving. Obviously, a scholarship opened up with Trey Lance left, but I think they're conservative, and something that we're going to talk at the end of the show, too, is like, you don't get Kobe Johnson without having scholarships available in the spring. You don't get Courtney Eubanks this last spring without having scholarships available in the spring. They got to be super flexible in a number of ways because they aren't 100% sure on their roster in the fall. They don't have a ton of graduating seniors either way. And frankly, they want to be able to look at transfers. That's just the way it is in today's society with the transfer portal and everything. They want to be able to offer a kid like Zeb Noland if the fit is right. And frankly, they want to be able to, these kids, I feel bad for them because I think there's a ton of schools with 13-man classes today, 14-man classes today. The 2021 high school seniors got screwed. And Dave Richmond on the basketball side said the same thing, that there are kids that would normally get Division II and Division I opportunities that are going to go have to play JUCO ball and go play Division III ball, while the Rocky Cruisers that weren't going to come back are going to come back. And I think that's going to happen on the football side as well. So I think for Coach Entz and his staff to stay kind of as flexible as they can with these scholarships is huge. They need to be able to add talent if talent wants to come to NDSU.
And just jumping off your last point, the coveted walk-on group.
Yeah, it's big.
Dakota State is kind of a help to their national title success. What are we looking at for walk-on group with this recruiting class?
Well, it's huge, and I think not only is it big in quantity, it's big in quality. You've got guys that had some lower-level FCS offers, some upper-level Division II offers that are going to come in and become part of the walk-on program and try to earn scholarships down the road. I have to imagine that was part of their pitch to these kids, was like, hey, we don't know what the deal is, but if you're starting in your third year, you're going to be on scholarship. It's just the way it's going to be. And you talk about the walk-on program not mattering, or you come into signing day and they're just like this list of 11 names at the end. Folks, I mean, we got to be more realistic about this. Right now, you're looking at a situation where what are important positions at North Dakota State? Is Mike Linebacker an important position at North Dakota State? Yeah, this is going to be a three-year starter who walked on at Jackson Hanke. How about left tackle? Sent three straight left tackles into the NFL, four if you count Paul Kornick. Cody Mauch was brought in as a freaking tight end from Hankinson. He's going to be starting at left tackle. He's part of this walk-on program. I think both defensive tackles are probably going to be part of the walk-on program, both starting defensive tackles. And then the Kubis brothers. I mean, this walk-on program is no joke, and this walk-on class has a large number of kids, which I think was necessary because the scholarship numbers were so small. But again, these are kids that were the bedrock of the program, as far as they didn't used to beat MAC schools and every single FCS school for recruits. They used to get kids that just maybe had a USD offer, or maybe they saw something, and maybe it was guys that just had Division II offers, like Brock Jensen, for example, just had the Duluth offer. So I think that this walk-on class really has a chance to be impactful because they've got so many rolls of the dice with these kids. And like I said, I'm sure that the pitch to these guys was come in, earn your spot. You will be rewarded with the scholarship. Things are just weird right now because of COVID. Normally, we you know, maybe offer you a partial or whatever, but come be a Bison and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and we'll just kick it off quick to Christian Dudzik, the legend.
Yeah, Duds and I had a really good conversation last night. You guys are listening to this hopefully on signing day. We talked about Marquise and Tyson Gordon. We talked about this crazy, crazy year of 2020. And of course, we talked about the guy you're all here to hear about, and that's Omaha Westside quarterback Cole Payton.
Joining me on the Bison Report hotline here is Christian Dudzik, the king of Omaha. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well after that compliment. Appreciate that. But I'm actually I'm stationed here in Lincoln now. So
that's right.
Between Omaha and Lincoln, and we're trying to extend the kingdom into Lincoln now.
Absolutely. The first pick kingdom. I love it. Christian active in developing young athletes as he did up here in Fargo during his time with Dynasty Performance Training, and now has opened his own shop. First Pick Performance, both in the Omaha area and in Lincoln. And that has given him, and we'll get to this in a second, but that has given him the ability to train a lot of future Bison and get in with some of the absolute elite high school athletes in the Omaha area. It's something that we're going to get into in just a second. But Duds, I want to get kind of your take on just all of this. I mean, the differences in this year, something obviously that you didn't experience and have, you know, kind of nothing to fall back on experience wise, but this spring season and the first early entry in the history of North Dakota State football into the NFL draft, kind of coming into a season where we don't know what seniors may or may not be coming back. Just what are you, what's running through your mind if you're a North Dakota State football player right now?
Yeah, like you said, there's so many storylines. And I think I saw somebody say today that these coaches are going to have to work kind of like general managers in how they handle, you know, who's coming back, you know, with this season not counting, all those things are on their hands. So that's a task in itself, and you have to make room for incoming guys and all of those things. So, you know, as a player, you know, just the way that I did things was, you know, what time are meetings? What time is practice? What do I need to do one day at a time and just do my best job, but see the big picture of it. And playing in the spring is certainly different. We all played spring ball, but to have actual competition against other teams in the Missouri Valley, that's certainly going to be different. So I'm personally looking forward to it. I know a lot of people have talked about, you know, it's just not possible or healthy for guys to play two seasons in one year. You know, I don't know if I'll go that far. I know it'll have to be a quicker recovery, certainly for guys that get banged up before the fall season comes around. So that'll just be interesting. We'll see which guys, you know, stay on, if anybody opts out, and how that ends up looking.
Yeah, and I honestly, does, I don't think it's going to be that different. There's still talk about pushing the beginning of next season back 3 to 5 weeks and then having a normal season in 2022. And I think if you're starting the first week of October or like that third weekend in September instead of the last weekend in August, I get it. I understand the physical grind of football, but at the same time, you look at how long some of those North Dakota State seasons lasted when you were playing, you know, Kansas State on the 30th of August and your season doesn't end until January 10th in Frisco. Like, you're kind of already doing it. So I think they can figure it out. And one way that I know that they've been handling this is to do two things, really. One, this class, I believe, I got to go double check, and the staff has been really good to the players, not so great to us, as far as they're really treating the walk-ons like the scholarship kids. So it is difficult to sometimes understand who's on scholarship and who's not. And not that it matters once you get to campus, because they've made it very clear that it doesn't, but it does matter when you're kind of trying to keep track of how many, you know, they have available.
But this, I think, is a 13 or a 14 kid scholarship class. And like you mentioned, for every Trey Lance that opens up a scholarship by leaving, there could be a situation where the starting right guard or one of, you know, the corners decides they want another year to try and improve their draft stock or go chase another ring or whatever. And they decide to come back. And all of a sudden now you're short of scholarships. So with a really small class, and also the other thing that I'll mention is the expansion of the walk-on program. There are a number of kids that have other lower level FCS offers or have high Division II offers that these guys are getting to North Dakota State as walk-ons and basically saying, you know, that they'll have an opportunity to earn a scholarship. And Duds, you played with a bunch of studs that were originally walk-ons.
Yeah, absolutely. The first one that comes to mind is Joe Haig. I mean, he certainly turned himself into an NFL product. And, you know, I tried to put myself, you know, in the position of these guys and, you know, having that extra year. And I was just a guy who loved football. So I would have been a guy that'd be like, you know, maybe my last season wasn't 100% what I wanted it to be perfectly. So let's give it another shot and see if I can improve my draft stock. But what I think, you know, going back to the walk-ons, I think that's really exciting. I think you're kind of seeing a phenomenon like Nebraska might have had in the 80s and 90s, where you have, you know, kids from the area that have seen the success of the program. They want to be a part of it. They've seen guys walk on there and go on to the next level or have great success and become a household name. And I'm really excited for the program that they built that up to that level, that they have that number of guys that have other offers, big offers, that would rather walk on at NDSU and experience what that program has to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where you're going to see some of the expansion. I mean, shoot, you're talking about at left tackle this year, which in my opinion is one of the top two or three most important spots at North Dakota State. You look at the way they run their offense, offensive line is key, and that's the key spot on that line. How many straight left tackles at North Dakota State have at least gotten a look? And you go back to Paul Kornick, and then him moving to the right side and having Billy there, and then Billy giving way to Joe, and Joe giving way to Dylan. It's NFL, 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 NFL. The next left tackle is a tight end walk-on from freaking Hankinson, North Dakota, and Cody Mauch. That's who's going to start at left tackle in the spring. A kid that they brought in to try and play tight end, and he just never stopped filling out his frame. And Joe, like you mentioned, walk-on straight to the NFL from NDSU. This program is no joke, and so that's something today, when you guys are listening to this, is we're going to try and really break down this walk-on class because they're light on scholarship availability, so they're going to bring in a lot of talent that in 2-3 years absolutely could be starting. So, Duds, I want to kind of get into the Omaha side of things because for a number of reasons. I mean, it's been a hotbed, right? I think you had a number of consecutive coaches at Nebraska that have gone the route of trying to get 3-, 4-, and 5-star kids no matter where they're from and kind of not paying enough attention to their own backyard. That's how a Christian Dudzik and a Kyle Emanuel and a Nick DeLuca and an Easton Stick end up at North Dakota State. Is that kind of your analysis of the whole situation, why Nebraska keeps whiffing on this kids and why Omaha in general or that Nebraska area keeps providing this top talent to North Dakota State? Because, man, I mean, there's great Bison from North Dakota. There's great Bison from Minnesota. There's great Bison from Wisconsin. But I feel like the hit rate, the success rate, the batting average in Nebraska is just unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you go back to Kyle Emanuel, was a 0-star athlete out of Schuyler, Nebraska. And, you know, the one thing, and you're talking about walk-ons, the one thing I know that kids will get when they go to NDSU is development. And I'm sure right now, you know, with the scholarship situation, they're talking to those guys just like they talked to me. I came in as a partial scholarship guy, and AJ Cooper told me, you know, once you start and get significant contribution time, you're going to get a scholarship. And so I'm sure they're having the similar conversations with those guys. But, you know, guys from Nebraska, and I've said it, you know, Kyle Emanuel, Easton Stick, Nick DeLuca, all these guys from Nebraska. And it's not like we have a huge it's not like we have huge numbers coming from Nebraska to NDSU every year, but the guys that do end up getting developed and having a great shot to play at the next level. And so, you know, recruiting here is such a difficult task. And now that I've done what I've been doing and working with athletes and seen, you know, both sides of playing and then being outside of it and talking to coaches, I understand why coaches don't come to Nebraska to recruit from the big schools, and why a lot of guys are left over to pick from. Although I'm sure you'll get into it with Cole Payton here, why guys are left over for schools like NDSU and SDSU to develop. And so, you know, it's just not a hotbed, and there's a lot of good talent here. But if you're looking at coaches' time, resources, and money, they're going to go down to, you know, Texas and Florida and try to pick up as many guys as they can, because there's just there's more talent in one place there, where you come to Nebraska and you have Omaha and Lincoln, and there's some guys spread out in some of the smaller towns and that have talent, but it just takes more time to get to those guys.
Oh, geez, I didn't realize you wanted to talk about Cole Payton. I guess, I mean, we can if you want to.
I love the kid.
But so, okay, we'll get to Cole. But first, I want to kind of go into some guys that are, I believe, already on the roster. Guys that you've had a chance to kind of get your hands on a little bit and work with. Certainly, of course, Tyson Gordon, you know, pride of Scut Catholic, as you are yourself. But you've had a chance, I believe, to also work with Marquis Siegel, who's currently on the roster. Anybody else that's on the roster now?
I don't think so. Those are the two guys recently that have come to mind.
Sure. So just kind of give North Dakota State fans a little preview of those guys and what you've seen in working with them, specifically Marquis, because I'll be honest, Duds, like, we watched the Central Arkansas game, and that corner spot that isn't Josh Hayes is up for grabs. I think Destin Talbert got benched. Jaden Price came in and made a nice little interception and a little cover two, a little trap two. But I'm not sure either of those guys have a complete lock on corner. And with this additional development time in the winter, I think that Courtney Eubanks, the true freshman, has got a chance. I think Marcus has a chance. I think that there is potential playing time. Not to discount Tyson Gordon, but I think there's potential playing time at the corner spot.
Certainly for Marquis Siegel. The thing that I like about him, and I actually worked with him for 2 or 3 years, I think, before he got up to NDSU now, and he just recently came back. And, you know, over break, he was working with me and doing some footwork drills, and Coach Kramer reached out to me and asked me if I could help him with a few things. But, you know, the thing that I like about him right now is since he's gone up to NDSU, he's put on weight. He's jacked. He's got that muscle definition. He looks like he can play right now. And when we're doing footwork drills and we're doing some speed work, he's looking the part. He's looking like Marcus Williams, like CJ Smith right now. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying he's to their level of development, understanding the game. I'll leave that up to the coaches. But physically, I like the way that he's looking right now, and I think he could contribute early if he gets in his playbook and totally understands what the defense is all about. And I think he can certainly get to that point early in his career.
So I think there's a lot of, like, archetypes, right? People think of how Craig and Colton were such good tacklers, and your speed, and think about Robbie Grimsley's ball skills. Thing about James Hendricks' ability to make the big play. I mean, if you could give, in the history of just All-American, just phenomenal safeties at North Dakota State, give us a Tyson Gordon comp as it relates to the, like I said, just the lineage that you're a huge part of.
Well, he actually does remind me of Robbie Grimsley a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I don't think and Robbie played strong, but he, like you said, he had great ball skills. And if you look at Tyson Gordon and how he played in high school, he was just a ball hawk. He knew how to make plays. And you know, I don't think he's probably going to be, you know, the fastest guy on the field. Like I might have been at free safety, but he's going to be a guy that understands the defense more quickly than probably I did. He's a really sharp kid. And I told those guys when they were back that when you can understand the defense and understand what offenses are doing and what you're looking at, the game slows down. So it's not necessary to have a 4-3-40 to have success in that defense, just with everything that they do. And because he's so sharp and the things that he's working on physically, he's another guy that's put on a ton of weight since he went up to NDSU. He actually came back, you know, out of high school. He was a three-sport athlete, really didn't have a lot of time to spend in the weight room. He came to me in March earlier this year and was weighing about 170, and I think he's probably up to 195 now. So, woo. Yeah, he's getting up there. And he actually came back and he said, I'm too big. I said, I understand. I wish I would have had that problem. But
peanut butter sandwiches and chocolate milk.
Hey, two big ones in a giant glass of chocolate milk. But they're feeding him well up there, and he's another guy that's just – he's going to be developed. He's going to be a different type of athlete. And I think he's going to pave his own road up there.
He's at least faster than Colton, right?
We'll have to time the 40s. We'll see.
All right, let's get to, if you will, the main event. No disrespect to anybody, but I mean, this is, it's high profile, man. I mean, like, so you saw the clip, you shared the clip when, Cole and I spoke last week on Bison Report TV, and he told us flat out that Iowa State, who's probably going to win the Big 12, reached out during the season. He said, I'm good. I don't want to talk to you. And what I really want you to get into before we talk about Cole is just try to, as someone who grew up in Omaha, as someone, and I know you kind of grew up a K-State fan, so you're not like you didn't bleed Big Red, but as someone who grew up around, I'm sure plenty of people that did, express to me how insane it is that a quarterback at Omaha would tell his high school coach that he does not want to call Scott Frost back.
It's just incredible. In many different ways. I mean, for one, like I said, like, you know, I always tell the story when you know, I started receiving letters from North Dakota State, and then I got a call from A.J. Cooper, who was recruiting Nebraska at that time. I didn't know anything about North Dakota State. Hadn't really heard of them. And this was before, of course, you know, social media. People had Facebook. There wasn't Twitter. So I hadn't heard of North Dakota State. And when I started to learn about them, I understood that, you know, it was a football school, and that's what I was looking for. But so in that aspect, the fact that he has stayed committed to an FCS school, granted NDSU now that is going to send, you know, a third quarterback to the NFL in however many years, 5 years, that is just astounding. But from the aspect of, you know, Nebraska and Scott Frost, who was, you know, the Golden Boy quarterback in 97,
savior of the program.
Yes. Won a national championship. It's just incredible. It was recently, you know, guys giving up FCS scholarships to walk on at Nebraska. And so for Coach Frost to reach out and say, I'm interested in giving you a scholarship. And I don't know, he hasn't told me. I don't know if they plan to offer him at quarterback or what it was, but the fact that he said, you know, I'm sticking with North Dakota State and my commitment to them, even with an offer on the table from Nebraska, it's truly unheard of. And I think that kind of marks a new time down here in Nebraska, and probably something that Nebraska fans don't want to hear, but a new time here in Nebraska and also FCS football, and just how big North Dakota State and their program and how well they're known, how far that they've come since even when I was being recruited.
Yeah, and so like for me, I think from a branding standpoint, it's kind of a high point for North Dakota State. At the quarterback position, I think, you know, the brand, if you will, and it's a little ridiculous, but it's a fact. It's taken a little bit of a hit because Carson's not playing well. And a lot of fans of other FCS teams that have been getting kicked in the teeth by NDSU for the last 9 years, you know, they're posting the memes and they're making the fun and all that. But then you back that up with the first early entry and likely top 10 pick, not the first top 10 pick, but the first early entry in the history of North Dakota State football. And then you back that up with a quarterback that a top whatever Iowa State is right now, 11th, 12th. I'd look it up, but they're basically a top 15 program right now and the likely Big 12 champion. Right now, Iowa State is sixth. They're the sixth ranked team in the country in the college football playoff rankings. Right. And he said, he's like, no, I'm good. I don't even want to talk to Matt Campbell. I'm good. And then you have an opportunity for this young man to play college football. What's the drive, Duds? An hour 10?
45 minutes.
45 minutes. This kid has an opportunity, probably grew up cheering on the Huskers, whatever, and he has an opportunity to play 45 minutes from his parents' house at a Big Ten university, and he goes, I'm good. I mean, it's just from a branding standpoint, that's kind of a low point for Nebraska, but this is kind of a high point for North Dakota State as well. I mean, not only are they saying you can get drafted out of here, they're saying you can early entry out of here. Like, we have guys heading out early. It's crazy, and I think you see some of that with the higher profile guys in this class as well. You saw Andrew Linegang pick Kansas State over NDSU, but they were right in that one till the end. You see Bryce Lance, he had interest from Iowa. He had interest from Minnesota, but he was going to, you know, he made that commitment to go to North Dakota State over those Big Ten schools. And they didn't offer, but I mean, he had interest and the entire Ivy League. He wants to go to North Dakota State. There are a number of guys that have FBS offers that want to go to North Dakota State in this very small class, such as it is. Now, what I want to do is kind of have you explain your connection with Cole and any conversations that you've had with him, any opportunities you've had to train him, and you've seen him live, and really I haven't, none of us have. What I said was, this is my comp, was if Easton was left-handed, if he was an inch and a half taller, that was my Cole Payton comp.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. The thing that I really like about his play, I'll start with that, is he just has a sense of urgency. The way that he drops back, I told this to him when I was talking to him, the way that he drops back to throw the ball is just different. He gets back there quickly. He's looking downfield. He's making his reads. And I think, like a lot of people saw, if they watched it in the state championship game, just like Easton, if something's not there, he is ready to take off. And one of the plays that he made in the game was just incredible. I mean, he shed a guy, a defensive lineman that weighed about 250, had him completely wrapped up. He shed him, sprinted off to the left, and threw a floater over a defensive back in the back of the end zone. I mean, just an incredible play. And I totally understand why Nebraska wanted to talk to him after that game, because he was clearly different and a level above everybody else on the field. But the thing I like about his maybe intangibles, he's just a different kid. He's got a quiet confidence similar to Easton Stick. He's got moxie, but you can tell that he knows he's the guy, and you can tell that his teammates look to him for leadership and along the lines of being different. You know, going to college football camps to showcase your ability has become huge. I mean, that's how these schools evaluate players these days. And that started getting pretty big when I was being recruited 10 years ago. I plan to go to a bunch of camps, end up getting hurt, couldn't go to all but one of them. But the interesting thing about him was he didn't know really until this fall that he wanted to play college football. So he didn't go to any camps going into his senior season. He was still playing baseball, and he's an outstanding pitcher as well. So that's I asked him, I was like, how did you fall under the radar for so long before Iowa State started reaching out, before, you know, even NDSU offered you? And he just said, I just didn't, you know, I was pitching. I didn't go to any camps. So he's just different in that sense too. He didn't know if he wanted to play college football. He was really giving baseball a try. And I think for his case, he ended up making the right choice.
Yeah, I was joking a little bit with NDSU baseball coach Todd Brown, and he just mentioned that he didn't know that the football team would share this particular toy with him. Cole is the number two left-handed pitcher in the high school baseball recruiting rankings. I mean, that's how good of an athlete this kid is. Really, really impressed with him when I had a chance to interview him. Right, there's a quiet confidence. He certainly wasn't playing to the camera in his conversation with me, but he's very matter of fact and very blunt. And Duds, I got to tell you, man, I think this is my theory. It's not even really a conspiracy theory. I think when he gets to campus, I would be surprised if there are not some coal packages in, if Zeb does get an app. And this is the plan. I mean, I've talked to coaches, whoever, like, this is the plan. If Zeb is the quarterback this spring, then gets his season of competition waiver and is the quarterback next fall when Cole Payton is on the roster. Not that Zeb's a bad athlete, because I don't think he's a bad athlete, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of that run stuff they had in for Easton and for Trey, I would be surprised if there weren't some Cole Payton packages in with the normal offense that Zeb runs. I think he's that gifted right now. Am I insane?
No, I totally agree. Just watched him in that state championship game. Like I said, he was above the rest. Just has incredible, powerful legs.
He's a big damn kid. Like,
he's a big kid, and he can take off. And I've seen him work out in the weight room. The kid is a gym rat. Like we've talked about, he's a baseball player, so he's just an all around tremendous athlete. But yeah, I mean, I would love to see him in some of those run packages, because what I saw in his last game was spectacular.
All right, Duds, we appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Ross. Anytime.
All right, we want to thank Duds for his time. Duds and I, we recorded that thing at 9:30 at night last night. He is still a grinder, folks. He's still working 14-hour days. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate his time. And so let's kind of get into the meat of the class, of the what we would call the scholarship kids, the kids that NDSU was hard in on.
Let's start off with your boy, the quarterback, Cole Payton.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's got to be the shining star of the class. Like I said, and no disrespect to Cam Miller or to Logan Greats, but Logan was a PWO. Then Minnesota comes in with a PWO. Then North Dakota State loses their scholarship quarterback late and says, why don't you come in with money? And so he wasn't like at the top of the top of the top of what they were trying to do anyway. Cam Miller, he's a three-star kid. Poor guy. He's a three-star kid. And hey, look, we don't know anything. Okay. I mean, that's important. There, nothing says that Cole Payton's going to come in here, beat out Cam Miller, and that Cam Miller's going to have to transfer, or Cam Miller's going to end up being like Cole Davis. Nothing says that. Cam Miller could spin it all over the yard and start for 3 years at North Dakota State and win two national championships, whatever. Like, we don't know anything. But what I will say is, evaluating their high school tape and looking at who else offered, Cole Payton is a big effing deal, guys. I mean, for those of you that missed the Bison Report radio episode, and then I think there was an article in the local paper and also an article on The Athletic basically parroting what we said a week ago, or what Cole said on our show a week ago, which was that during the season, the number six team in the country in the college football playoff, Iowa State, wanted to chat. Matt Campbell wanted to chat, probably going to offer him a quarterback. And he said, I'm not interested in talking to Iowa State. The Saturday after, and I just want people to understand this, and Duds and I you just heard us talk about this, but I just want to clarify what we were talking about. The Saturday after the state championship game in Nebraska, Scott Frost, the Golden Boy, the savior of the program. I don't think they feel that way about him right now in Nebraska, but the golden boy, the former national championship quarterback, the savior of the program that they bought from UCF, can't even get Cole Payton to pick up the phone because he wants to be a Bison that badly. The kid could have gone to school 45 minutes from his parents' house in Memorial Stadium in the Big Ten. He's like, I'm good. I'm going to be a Bison. I mean, that you just think about like when Gene Taylor and Joe Chapman decided in 2001 to go to NCAA Division I. Imagine me jumping in a time machine, grabbing Gene and being like, hey, by the way, in 2020, there's a kid that's not even from Omaha that's not even going to take Scott Frost's call. Like, ah, good one. Like, but no, but that actually happened. That actually happened here. And my comp is, as you just heard with my conversation with Dudzik, because I think he's like Easton. He's taller than Easton. He's more physically, not that Easton was skinny, because he wasn't, but this dude is nasty. This dude looks like senior Brock Jensen right now. I mean, he's that built up. Kind of reminds me of Esley Thornton in a way. Not just that they're left-handed, but that they're the size of damn linebackers. Esley actually ended up playing linebacker, obviously. But Cole has this ability to spin it that's special. I think he needs to develop as a passer. I don't think he made a ton of reads at Westside. I think it was kind of like, hey, hit your drop, hit your first read. If you don't like that, maybe your second read. But if not, go. and a lot of it was one read stuff as far as there were some RPOs in there. There was some just play action deep shots, a ton of quarterback run game. I mean, they ran read option. They ran QB power. They ran plenty of stuff where he was the design guy. And I think, like I said, they need to develop him as a passer, as they did, they had to do with Trey Lance, as they have to do with a number of guys. I mean, NDSU's offensive system is very complicated. There are very few people that are able to just come in and operate it. And I think that's why we were so surprised with Trey Lance. But even with Trey Lance, like they talked about in the first four games of the season, they were making single side of the field reads. And it's one read, two read, or go. Like, you either hit your first one, hit your second one, or go. And then by the end, I mean, they were basically to the point where I think Trey could have called the offense at the line after the end of his second full year. And as you just heard me say with Dudzik, man, I really think that, and again, I'm not dumping on Zeb Nolan's athleticism. That's not the point. But he's not Cole Payton. He's not Trey Lance. He's not Easton Stick. He might be a better thrower of the football than all three of them as far as just the ability to spin it, the ability to get it down the field, the ability to be accurate with it. Zeb is not going to run QB power a ton. They are not going to run jet sweep motion read with Zeb a ton. This offense is going to go back to looking a little bit more like it did with Brock Jensen, looking a little bit more like it did with Steve Walker, and working some stuff off of play action instead of so much quarterback run. I really think that the fall of 2021, you might see some Cole Payton packages because I don't know as though they're going to be able to redshirt the kid. My guess is that maybe they put the Cole Payton package in for just four games. I don't know. But I think with what just happened with Trey Lance, you might want to let the kid play. Not that Cole Payton is like for sure headed to the NFL, but you might have to utilize him his freshman year and just deal with the fact that he might only be a three-year starter again if he even beats out Cam Miller and Logan Gritz. We don't know, but he's a super, super high-level kid. You know, obviously, you look at his offer list, you look at and it's lighter than it would be, as Dud's point out. Like, if he was going to football camps in the summer instead of focusing on being the second-best left-handed pitcher in the entire state of Nebraska, there would have been more offers. Teams were late on Cole Payton because Cole Payton might have been a baseball player. But that worked out in North Dakota State's favor. Super high-level kid. Iowa State, no thank you. Nebraska, no thank you. Going to North Dakota State.
And then a familiar name.
Yeah.
For Bison fans, bringing in Bryce Lance, wide out on a Marshall.
For sure. And I want to just point out kind of maybe not – it's not incredibly obvious, but I think it's important, and that's that – whatever happened between North Dakota State and Trey Lance, and he'll be a part of Bison lore, I think, the same, not maybe the same way that Carson is, because just Carson's from Bismarck, but he's going to be part of North Dakota State lore forever. The only Walter Payton Award winner in the history of the program. First Jerry Rice Award winner in the history of the program. National championship quarterback. everything that he did for social justice while he was here was unlike any player before him. Obviously, you know, Phoenix was involved in a lot of the same stuff, but he's a quarterback. He's the leader of the team. It's a little bit different. With that said, whatever happened between the coaching staff and his family and him, they got to be pretty pleased with it. As far as the early entry, there are obviously not any hard feelings. The Lances have to feel like North Dakota State acted with their best interests at heart, because they just signed up to have another one of their kids go to NDSU for 4 years. And while Bryce Lance is a huge deal, and we have covered him from the beginning like he's Bryce Lance, not like he's Trey Lance's brother, because I hate that. But I think it does say something super important about the relationship between Matt Entz and Carlton and Angie Lance, as far as they all feel pretty good, I think, about what happened with Trey, or Bryce would have ended up somewhere else. If there were hard feelings, Bryce would have ended up somewhere else. And so I think it shows just kind of the maturity and the understanding from this staff that, like, this kid needs to go get his money, and this is the best thing for the Lance family, and there are no hard feelings. And boom, we get another Lance for 4 years. This is what I mean, though, Sam, when I talk about this small class size and then being selective. Bryce Lance is exactly what this team needs. I think you look at last year, the kids that they were able to bring in at the wide receiver position, like a DJ Hart. I think DJ translates more to being like a Phoenix, where you can play a little bit of Z, you can play a little bit of slot. He's not super tall. I think he has the ability to run the ball in jet if you want. He has the ability to run some of those intermediate routes, maybe some of that longer stuff. But DJ Hart's not a feature receiver. You're not going to line up DJ Hart at the X, I don't think. And what does that mean? The next recruiting class, you go get an X. You go try and replace the Jacob Lippies and, of course, the Christian Watsons. Playing that Zach Vrah position, playing that number one position. And I think that Bryce Lance is it, man. Folks are telling me he's closer to 6'4 than his listed 6'2. He shattered every receiving record at Marshall. You don't see a lot of kids have enough wiggle to return punts as well as he did at 6'4". A lot of punt returners are 5'9", 5'11", stuff like that. This kid has the juice, and they're going to need the juice when Christian Watson is gone. I think that you're potentially looking at a long-term coupling here with Cole Payton and Bryce Lance. I think that those two could make beautiful, beautiful music together here in Fargo for the next 4 or 5 years, because they, in my opinion, are the top guys in their class. And what a way for North Dakota State to really kind of put a bow on this class in the ability to close on Bryce Lance and get him to commit to North Dakota State to just wrap this thing up, because he was the last thing that they were waiting on, that he was their final priority in this class. And I just think he can be a featured number one X receiver, which is something that the program is going to need after Christian Watson, if Jake Lippy isn't that guy. And we don't know that, you know, but we don't know that he is either.
And then switch gears here a little bit. A couple of local skill kids.
Yeah, you want to be able to keep those guys in-house. You want to be able to keep them out of UND. You want to be able to keep them from, you know, looking at maybe the MAC or looking at, even, God forbid, one of the South Dakota schools. And so Barika Kapinu and Enoch Sivamana are both your, what I call the normal human being size people. They are between 5'6 and 5'10. They're between 160 and 200 pounds. So they're going to play your normal size people positions, which is running back, wide receiver, corner, safety. I think wherever they kind of figure out how to use those two kids, they're going to have speed. They're going to have athleticism. They're going to have the ability to make plays with the ball in their hands or with not. I would guess they're probably going to be running back and wide receiver. I don't know. But you just, like, it's with Ty Brooks, right? He started out as a corner, moves to running back, ends up being one of the better speed backs in all the country. And it's just important for, I think, the brand of North Dakota State to keep people, you know, interested locally. I mean, people are going to be Bison fans, but there's another level to being a Bison fan too, when you believe that the program can get it done with North Dakota kids. And I think Enoch and Barika are going to be a big part of that.
And then as NDSU goes on, they've got three kids that you highlighted as speed guys.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the ability to go and get kids from that Florida and that Georgia area is something that really started with Atif Austin. And this is going to be another kind of infusion of that talent. They've also kind of expanded what they're doing as far as getting speed kids from other part of the country and in recruiting. I think it's five or six schools from the Frisco Plano area because of their brand in North Dallas. But right now, I mean, we're talking about Nasir Britton and Reggie being a safety or defensive back out of the Kansas City area. And then I think Britton is Florida and Reggie. Britton, I think, is Florida, and Nasir, I think, is Georgia. It's tough to keep it all straight, but I think – and that's honestly, too, like you look at North Dakota State right now, and Tutsi doesn't have a ton of years left. Josh Hayes is a senior, and you're maybe not thrilled with what you saw in the Central Arkansas game from the other corners. Jaden Price got beat, but Jaden Price also had the game-clinching interception. Destin Talbert got, for lack of a better term, benched. I mean – there are going to be opportunities to compete with Anthony Coleman, Marquis Siegel, and Courtney Eubanks for these positions in the defensive backfield. I think you feel a lot better about safety. I think they love what they might have in Cam Smith and Dom Jones. Dawson Weber has a couple of years left. You know, Tut obviously has some time before he likely has a shot at the pros. But this defensive backfield could use an early infusion of talent during their time. So these three kids in Reggie, Britton, and Nasir are going to have a chance right away. And what specifically Reggie and Nasir have is length. I mean, these guys are long. They have the ability to play some of that cover three, which is sort of the in vogue NFL coverage. It's something that you saw Kansas State, Kleiman, and Klanderman switch to almost categorically. And it's something that you have seen more at North Dakota State, where in history, and what they've kind of built this Bison defense on is a lot of Tampa too, where you can get away with, frankly, short and slow corners because most of the time they're in the flat and you put a lot of pressure on your safeties having range and your Mike linebacker being able to get down the field. You switch to a cover three, and what it does is it allows you to have more guys around the line of scrimmage because you only have the three deep. So the strong safety can kind of roll down. You obviously have a nickel there as well. You're going against teams that are three wide, four wide. But that means that the corners have to be the deepest guy on the field, and that's where you see your Richard Shermans and your Brandon Browners and your guys, your corners that are 6'1", 6'2", sometimes even 6'3", like a Kevin King in Green Bay. They are getting longer cornerbacks now. I'll never forget those 06, 07 Bison and guys like Nate Agbatola and Richard David Earl. I mean, the Bison used to do it with 5'9 corners, and now they're getting kids that are 6'1 to play out there. It's just another kind of example of just the elevation of what they're doing in a recruiting profile standpoint and the difference of kids. I mean, I love everyone that's come through this university and everything that they've accomplished, but it's crazy how many kids that I've talked to that have gone through North Dakota State that are my age or just a little bit younger than me that have the self-awareness to go, I would not even get a scholarship offer there now. Like they would not even call. And these are kids with 3-4 national championships on their finger, and they even notice the recruiting profile and the type of kids that North Dakota State are getting now. And, you know, guys that just tell me, like, oh, they wouldn't even call me now. And these are 3-year starters with 3 rings. It's wild.
Right. Well, it's kind of changed gears defensive side of the ball. There's a couple new additions to the Alley Cats.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I think with Cody Huseman and Jackson Dutton Heifer out of Mandan, again, keeping the best in-state kids in-state. Look, man, for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out super great at defensive tackle over the last couple of classes. You don't end up with two walk-ons as starters because you did a great job recruiting defensive tackles. Now, I think that Lane Tucker is finally showing that promise. He was the number one recruit in the state of Wisconsin. I think he's showing that promise, finally getting healthy, adding the weight. He was a very skinny defensive tackle coming out of high school. And so I think you're feeling good about that. I think they really like Javier Derrett from last year's class. I think he's going to work out just fine. But like I said, you don't start two walk-ons at defensive tackle because you did a great job recruiting and developing defensive tackle. So that's why I think you see I think there's one or two defensive tackles in the walk-on group. Plus you have Dutt and Cody Heisman, and these are long 6'3", 6'4", defensive tackles. that have the opportunity. I think both of them could play either one or three tech. I think you've got the obvious notion that they need to get better and deeper at defensive tackle. I didn't think the D tackles were very good, frankly, in 2000 and good Lord, what would you call that? I guess you'd call it the 2019 season, whatever full season was the last one that we saw.
Decades ago.
Yeah, I didn't think that they were that great. I thought Jackson Hanke made a lot of plays with engaged with blockers, where you'd go back and watch like a Grant Olsen, and he played a ton of clean football. He didn't have, you know, guys on him. And I just thought the defensive tackle group needed an infusion of talent. I think they got it last year with Javier Garrett, and I think they're getting it again this year with these two kids. And like I said, super important for Dutton Heifer, super important to keep the best in-state kids going to North Dakota State.
Then we'll move on to Sam Henry.
Yeah, I think Blazek has to be super excited about Sam Henry. As far as, you know, like Hunter Pontius and a bunch of guys that are in that room, I've heard just nothing but how excited this offensive line group and offensive line staff, whether it's, you know, talking about Tyler as the coordinator and Blaz as the line coach, they're so excited about this young offensive line that they've got, specifically the tackles. But they are very, very rich in talent right now, regardless of the fact that, obviously, yeah, you have your starters, your guys that you've heard of, your Cody Mauchs and Nash Jensen and Kubis and Bolson and guys that you've heard of. But the guys waiting in the wings, the Pontiuses, the Sundells, they are really, really high on this group. And I think Sam Henry is another opportunity. They took a couple other swings, kids that ended up somewhere else. Obviously, we talked about Lion Gang. Aiden Kingsbury is another kid that I think they were trying to get to come to North Dakota State. But Sam is a big, big get for them. I think he has the opportunity as kind of that. I think he's 6'5", which I think actually works out. Oh, he is 6'6", so he's probably a tackle body. But they don't mind those 6'5 kids, because then they have the ability to not be too tall to play guard. And that's where you've seen Jalen Sundell have the ability to come in that Central Arkansas game and play some guard. And obviously, I think Jalen's best shot at the next level, Jalen's best shot at being an impactful player for the Bison is that tackle. But I think a lot of these really good tackles, I've always said, if you have good enough feet to play tackle, you have good enough feet to play guard. And as long as you're thick enough and strong enough to survive inside, most average tackles become above average guards. It's just kind of how it works. And I think Sam Henry is one of not a lot of offensive linemen in this class because, yes, Rado opted out and has headed to the Senior Bowl. And we don't know what's going on with Schoening yet. We do know, though, that Cordell is going to come back. A lot of people freaked out. And so if you haven't heard us explain this yet, yes, the Hula Bowl sent an invite. I don't even know as though he's going to attend the Hula Bowl. I do know that he plans on coming back, and I think he needed to. Cordell is, I think, a future NFL talent, but he's got 16 or 17 starts as a right tackle in the FCS. He was never even the most highly touted guy in his own line at the FCS. Dylan is going to be the highest probably drafted NDSU offensive lineman in history. He's probably going to come off the board somewhere between 30 and 50. So it's not like Cordell was just going to roll out of bed and be a third-round pick and go to the Hula Bowl. Like, you think about who went to the Hula Bowl last, Marquise Bridges. I'm not talking trash about Marquise. Marquise wasn't even picked up as an undrafted free agent. The Hula Bowl is not the Senior Bowl. You don't go to the Hula Bowl and then go in the fourth round. Cordell has work to do, tape to give these scouts, these general managers, and so without question, the best thing for him to do is come back. What I'm kind of going on that rant to say is, this is a small offensive line group. Now, Blake Sater, a number of guys, I think Braden Rucker, there's a number of guys in this walk-on group that I think can make plays and can become a part of the real Rams, the ones you see on Saturday. But I don't think they had the opportunity, with as good as their numbers are, as much as they like a lot of their young offensive linemen, and they're only going to bring in 13, 14 kids, no way it was going to include three or four offensive linemen. It just wasn't going to happen.
Then Coach Roll grabs somebody for the Chiefs. Yes. Maybe the best name in the class.
Finn Diggins. Finn Diggins, a small-town Perham kid. Again, important to keep those guys around, too. The small-town Central Minnesota has been good to the Bison. Specifically, who's the most recent Bison tight end in the NFL? Ben Ellison, straight out of Holly, baby. keeping these small town Minnesota kids. You see Mason Miller, they're really excited about Mason Miller at offensive tackle from Ada Borup. It's important to own and run this Heart of Lakes Conference area too. The best players in the Heart of Lakes Conference need to come to North Dakota State, and that's what they were able to do with Finn here. And just another extension of this long tight ends group. That's what everybody says about Gindorf, about Babich, the length of this group, the ability that they have to make plays, to become a mismatch. I mean, most guys, you even look at, shoot, North Dakota State, same thing. The problem or the issue, if you will, of going to the smaller, faster linebackers is sometimes you get a 6'6 Josh Babich on a 6'1 200-pound linebacker that's defending the spread, and it's a mismatch. And that's what I think Finn Diggins has the opportunity to be. As teams go smaller at linebacker and safety to defend the spread, guys like Babich, Gindorf, and Finn Diggins become more of a matchup problem.
And then the Bison grab somebody out of Paradise in Ryan Jones.
Yeah, I mean, again, a big deal with this Frisco pipeline. You saw Braylon Henderson make some plays against Central Arkansas. North Dakota State has a phenomenal brand down there, and Ryan Jones is going to be in that mold of the Dudzik, Hegel safety, where they're there to make plays. And it's the same thing that they got with Tyson Gordon a year ago. Could be also in the James Kaiser situation, the James Hendricks situation, where maybe it's a little hybrid. Maybe you play a little linebacker. You never know. They have the ability to be a little bit more hybrid in what they do, the way they use personnel. Kaiser obviously now a full-time linebacker, but that's an important thing for branding. Again, if you're going to go down and win a national championship in Frisco every single year, Texas high school football is no joke. And even though it's no joke, what you've seen from Texas and Florida are some phenomenal Bison that slipped through the cracks of even not only just Texas, Texas Tech, and A&M, but also that don't get picked up by the SMU, the TCU, the North Texas, the UTEP. Like, they're still whiffing, and it's the same thing with Florida. Is NSU going to beat Florida State for a recruit or Florida for a recruit? Probably not. But they're even still beating UCF, USF, and FAU, or not beating, but getting guys that those kids aren't paying attention to. You think about Braylon Henderson. You go back and you even think about Warren Holloway and DJ McNorton. Or you go to Florida, you think about you don't think Trey Dempsey could have helped a Florida school? You don't think Christian Watson would be the best receiver at Florida State right now? He absolutely would be. So it's important to keep that brand going strong in that part of the country. And Ryan Jones out of Frisco is just their next shot at keeping that Texas brand really, really strong.
And then kind of round this out, what do you think spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have – they're going to probably announce – like, I'm sure there's an opt-out we don't know about. There might be five opt-outs we don't know about. Guys that just graduated and went on with their lives and got, you know, married or got a job and couldn't, you know, refuse that offer. And we all think these kids want to be Bison forever, but you got to understand they're getting their education to move on. And so there could be 10 scholarships available in the spring. There could be a scholarship and a half available in the spring. I don't know. I'm sure the staff knows by now, but yeah, I think they're going to have the opportunity to add three or four kids, and that's been huge. I mean, I think Courtney Eubanks has a chance truly to kind of wrestle with Jaden Price and with Destin Talbert for this other corner spot in the spring season, and he is a true freshman from last year's late signing class. Kobe Johnson, late signing class. Braylon Henderson, late signing class. Like, this stuff is important, and they need to have, and Matt Entz has said verbatim that they need to have scholarships available in the spring. And I think it could be an even bigger deal, like I said, with COVID this year. I think you could see potentially at the FBS level, smaller, and that's what happened with Courtney Eubanks, you know, smaller class sizes in the FBS. All of a sudden, the kid from the South, or even the kid from the Midwest, whatever, but they think they're going to Georgia Tech, or they're going to Cincinnati, or they're going to one of these non-top 20 programs, and all of a sudden the offer list, you know, they're waiting on the bigger offer. It never comes. Okay, well, their backup school filled up. Now they're in no man's land. And that's kind of what happened with Courtney, and I think it could happen a number of times in the spring. It's going to be important for them to keep up the ability to add kids. All right, folks, this episode of Bison Report Radio was brought to you by Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, Minnesota. Rise, of course, owned by the legend Chase Moorlock and his buddy Aaron Lean, star of Minnesota State University men's basketball. These two buddies from Moorhead have done a phenomenal job of building a brand and building a gym in Moorhead with some opportunities for both college and high school athletes to get better and for adults to stay in shape and extend their lives. Guys, it's unfortunate right now, the time that we're living in, that the physical gym itself is closed, but they're doing really, really, really cool stuff with the Elevate app and some of their online workouts, stuff you can do at home. Body weight stuff, stuff with just regular old household objects. You don't need to go to Shields and spend $300-$400 on workout equipment to be able to get something out of your Rise membership, even right now during quarantine and COVID. Speaking of quarantine, don't gain the quarantine 15. Check out Chase. Check out Aaron over at Rise Training and Fitness. All right, folks, this has been our signing day special on Bison Report Radio. Thank you for listening, and go Bison.